Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab. Adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now Progressives for More Police. Why the Progressive New York City Council wants to spend money on 1,000 additional police officers rather than, say, more social programs, but Mayor de Blasio does not. Enlarging the police force is just one of the proposals in the new City Council's first set of budget proposals. Let's talk about it with City Council Public Safety Committee Chair Vanessa Gibson. Her Bronx district includes Morrisania, Highbridge, Melrose, and around there. Councilmember Gibson, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you so much, Brian. It's good to be here. Thanks.
Tell us about the proposal. Why 1,000 more police officers for New York City?
Obviously, the City Council embarking on this, you know, new leadership and an opportunity really to give resources to the precincts. And while we recognize that, you know, each of our precincts is down about 50 to 60 officers, and overall the workforce at the police department has declined and continues to decline. And so we believe that if you recruit 1,000 new officers, which is about 13 officers per precinct, that it gives reinforcement to our outer precincts. Mayor de Blasio and the commissioner have talked about a reduction in citywide crime, but for many of my colleagues and I, crime has increased in our districts, and we have hot pockets of crime around gangs and guns and drugs, and so we believe that these 13 officers, you know, again, it's a number. We believe that it will start to address a lot of the increase that we're seeing in our communities.
Let me play a soundbite of Police Commissioner Bratton arguing against this idea, and it's interesting to me what he would rather use the money for. Listen.
The issue of pay raises for my personnel, I'm more supportive of that at the moment than I am additional officers, that I think the morale of the department, the effectiveness, can be enhanced with resolution of those contract issues.
So that's pretty interesting. You want more police officers. He wants better pay for the existing officers. Which is the more progressive position?
Well, I think to me there is a line where we can strike some level of a delicate balance. Earlier during my public hearing in March, during the budget hearing on the preliminary, Commissioner Bratton at one point said that he would welcome additional officers. So while I know we have a major challenge on the outstanding contracts, and that is absolutely important for our municipal workforce, but what we are saying is that crime has gone up in many of our precincts. And there are other things that we need to look at. And within the council's response, we're also talking out about an analysis of looking at overtime spending, where the police department has spent almost $500 million in overtime based on its current workforce. So we believe if we address that and also recruited more officers, we can try to find a balance. And then also looking at the civilianization and the fact that we have many able-bodied, uniformed officers that are currently in precincts doing clerical work that could be patrolling our streets. So to me, these are priorities that the council will focus on. And for me, coming from the Bronx and my district, I know my inspectors would welcome that 13 and take those 13 officers because we are starving for resources, particularly in outer boroughs like the Bronx that has seen an increase in crime. I have a lot of gang activity. I've had takedowns. And so my constituents are asking for more visibility in their communities.
So listeners, if you live in a high crime area, whatever you would identify as a high crime area of New York City, weigh in with some participatory budgeting here. Which of these would you choose? 1,000 more police officers for New York City, as our guest is proposing, better pay for existing officers, as Commissioner Bratton was articulating there, or do something else with the money. 212-433-WNYC. We would love to hear from some people in Councilmember Gibson's district or any other place in New York City that you would identify as having a crime problem, a higher crime district of the city. 212-433-9692. What would you do with the same amount of money? Hire 1,000 extra police officers for New York City, pay the existing officers better, or do something else with that money that you think would more benefit you and your neighbors. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And Councilmember Gibson, I actually want to play another clip of Commissioner Bratton, which kind of puts him on the spot here, I think. We just got this morning, but it's from a June 2013 panel at the Manhattan Institute, and we just heard him arguing this week against the idea of more police officers. Apparently last year, before he was appointed, he made a case for more cops, and as you will hear in this clip, he starts by putting it in the context of the stop and frisk debate, which was, of course, such a controversial topic during last summer's election. Listen.
Unintended consequence of Operation Impact is the stop, question, and frisk controversy. And ultimately, it was created by a political decision to cut the size of the police force to try and meet budgetary needs with the justification that crime was down so dramatically, do we need as many cops? I actually think that the force is now too small. The idea, it needs several thousand more. What's the exact number is? You'd have to do a resource allocation. But what would you do with those additional officers? You would basically use more seasoned officers in those high-crime precincts instead of rotating all these new recruits into those areas.
Isn't that interesting?
Commissioner
Bratton from last year, and by the way, thanks to Ozzy Pabra of Capital New York for flagging this audio for us, but he was saying that stop and frisk and the excesses of stop and frisk were the result of having a police force that was too small. He's making your case.
Wow. And, you know, and I think when you look at it, you know, the current level of 35,000 officers, you know, has really declined. A lot of the safe city, safe streets officers are now at the point of retirement. And so while we look at the increasing diverse population of New York City, we have to truly recognize that we have major parts in our city where crime continues to go up. So for me, going back to my community saying, well, you know, citywide, the crime is going down, that really doesn't fly for many of my constituents. And obviously, this is a part of a bigger conversation. Vision Zero, the implementation of that, where we want to reduce speeding along our streets and reckless driving, that has to also have a dynamic in terms of a price tag, but also the enforcement behind it has to mean a greater workforce. So I think, you know, the council, and I give a lot of credit to our speaker as well as finance chair, because we as the council have to look at this from a broad approach and recognizing that this is about making priorities for many oftentimes that have not always been made a priority. The overuse of stop and frisk, increasing relationships between law enforcement and residents, making sure that we build upon mentoring programs where we have seasoned officers training new recruits. These are all dynamics and critical components that have to be made priority this year.
Let's take a couple of phone calls. Tina Marie in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hello.
The lady that was just talking about seasoned officers and stop frisk, I think that that would be a good way in putting the money towards it back, I guess, into the precinct. I don't think they should give this money to hire more officers, but put it to good use, as the caller was just explaining.
Our guest, by the way, is City Council Member Vanessa Gibson.
Hi, Ms. Gibson.
Hi, good morning.
Chair of the Public Safety Commission, and are you Public Safety Committee of City Council. Are you in her district? She represents Morrisania, Highbridge, Melrose, Tina Marie.
I live in Parkchester, East 177th Street in this area. I don't know if she... does she cover this area?
No, that's Councilmember Annabelle Palmer.
But what do you make of her arguments, Councilmember?
Well, I think there's a lot of validity, but I do, again, focus on increasing the workforce because we are asking our officers to do a lot more with less resources. And for me, visibility is key. We have times when we have high crime, we bring more cops around, we shift them back and forth, but then as soon as that crime decreases, they're gone. And so when residents see that, they don't believe that certain communities are given the attention unless there's an accident. And so I don't want this council during this administration and this time to really be reactionary, but rather preventative, and start to talk about things we can do now to serve a long-term purpose that will really make a difference. So I think, again, the right approach is more officers at our precincts.
Fred in Spanish Harlem, you're on WNYC. Hi, Fred. Thanks for calling.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
Yeah, I was just going to say that up here, I really believe and I agree that we need way more officers.
I think because up here there's a special situation where there's tons of methadone clinics. Mm. There are outpatient drug right. treatment programs, like tons of them. So it's people just hang out here all day long. I mean, it's obvious out in the open drug sales and use. And, I mean, I see the same three dealers. I've lived here for 3 years. They're on my corner every day for the last three
wow.
years. I mean, the cops wave to them. I mean, I just don't get it. And what I really think it is that they just think, okay, this is like the last neighborhood in Manhattan where this kind of behavior kind of has happened in the past. And they figure, okay, just keep it in that neighborhood so it doesn't spill into the other neighborhoods.
You know, I'm curious, council member, can you, as the chair of the Public Safety Committee, facilitate something for Fred if his story is true and he's seeing the same three drug dealers on the same corner month after month, and he says the cops basically wave at them? What can you do for him?
Well, what I would suggest is certainly contacting my office and your local council member mm-hmm. to identify the location, the precinct, so that we can have a conversation with the inspector. I'm sad to hear that if there's been this pattern and, you know, the law enforcement may know who these folks are and really nothing has been done. So I think it's something that needs to be highlighted to the local precinct and working with the patrol borough in Manhattan North to determine what we can do about that.
I've even gone to the precinct about three or four times in the first year that I first lived here, and then I kind of mm-hmm. just gave up, which
wow.
sucks. But
and if you're in Spanish, go ahead.
No, I had then two cops come one time when I called, and they actually gave me their cell phone number, and they're like, okay, when you see these guys, you know, call me and tell me what's up, what they're wearing, da da da. And they would come, I mean, then they would come like 2 hours later, 3 hours. I mean, you know, it was just, so I gave up, which is really unfortunate.
And if you're in Spanish Harlem, you identified it as it's East Harlem, right? So council member is the speaker, Melissa Mark Viverito. You might want to contact her office.
And also, if it's an alcohol substance abuse treatment center, like a day program, they usually get some level of government funding. So there is supposed to be oversight at a city or state level, and they are providers. There's probably a not-for-profit that's behind that in terms of the clientele. So that's also something that could be another outlet in terms of addressing that issue.
Good luck, Fred. Ben in Bed-Stuy, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ben.
Hi, Brian. Great to speak with you. Love the show.
Thank you. More cops?
So I'm not sure if we need cops right away. I'd like to see the current workforce used more efficiently. Let's get cops out of the patrol cars and on foot and on bicycle.
Wow.
Councilwoman, I understand that most precincts make the decision as to whether they, quote, want to put cops on bikes or they rely on community input. That to me seems foolish. Cops on bicycles are great for interacting face-to-face. They can move quickly through parks and projects. And I'd like you, as councilwoman, to recommend that every precinct in the city automatically has a certain minimum number of cop bicycles and cops trained to patrol on the bike. And it fits well with Vision Zero, which you mentioned earlier, because when they're on the bicycle, they're much more able to see dangerous motorist behaviors that are affecting bicyclists and pedestrians.
All right. Interesting.
Good point.
Ben, thank you very much.
Thank you.
You mentioned, Commissioner Bratton in the clip that we played mentioned stop and frisk and the too small number of police officers contributing to the excesses of stop and frisk. But when you say that crime is going up in your district in the Bronx, could that have anything to do with how much they have pulled back stop and frisk, which Mayor Bloomberg always said kept crime so low?
That is a very good question, and a couple of my constituents have brought that to my attention. And I would argue, specific to my three precincts, the 4-4, 6, and 4-2, we have seen an increase in crime and a number of shootings, particularly around gangs. There's been an increase in different crews that are battling back and forth. There's been turf wars going on and retaliations. I had a 4-year-old that was shot 2 years ago in Forest, and there was a retaliation that recently percolated around that. So while I agree that there could be some level of validity to that, I would not support a concept of an overuse of stop and frisk, because the data has always shown that it was disproportionately in certain communities and really didn't end up in convictions. My goal as chair is to focus on the bad apples, the perpetual violators that have pretty much terrorize these neighborhoods. And because of the fact that not all of them have been caught, a lot of younger, as young as 10 and 12, are now being lured into these crews and unfortunately are starting this life of crime. I am also focused on the low-level possessions of marijuana, which I think also has a disproportionate impact. And in being in plain view, I want there to be some changes, and Commissioner Bratton has talked about that and acknowledged that it's a problem and a depletion of resources for PD, and I think these are all very relative issues, and that's why we talk so much about alternative and intervention programs, so we can get these young people before they get into these gangs.
So what would you ideally have the additional officers do? The last caller from Bed-Stuy was saying put more of them on foot and on bikes, but if you had more of them to deploy in your district and you don't like stop and frisk the way it was done, what would you have the officers do as chair of the Public Safety Committee? Have you thought that through?
I've thought about it quite a bit, and what I think the 13, what I would ideally like is a combination of several things. I am a major part of the effort with Vision Zero with the enforcement of speeding and making sure we have safe streets for all. A very big fan of walking the beat and getting back to the community policing, where cops are walking the streets and they're engaging with residents, and it's not that negative interaction that it's always been, but people get to see similar faces that remain consistent. I'm about building the relationships in the district, but then also about the major drug activity. It's unfortunate many of my constituents have shared that they're calling the local precinct, they're identifying people that are carrying and dealing drugs and loitering in the buildings, but nothing is happening to address that. If they are arrested, they're back in the community several weeks later, and it's really frustrating for people to come forward and also be safe in their own communities. So I would like to see, with these additional officers, we do a combination of several things. Many of my constituents have also talked about focusing on cops on bikes, dedicating officers to focus on pedestrian and bicyclist safety. So I think there's room for all of this, but I think my main concern is to address the proliferation of guns and the drugs that are permeating throughout our city.
Here is Dion in East Harlem, who wants to respond to the earlier caller from East Harlem.
Mm-hmm.
Dion, you're on WNYC. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
Oh, good morning. I also live in East Harlem, and I just agree with Fred with the methadone clinic that are here. Right on my block, there are about four, and the cops do know who the drug dealers are because they're right outside, and I have often seen them wave to the dealers, and they're very friendly to them because they go out at about 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. for their patrol daily patrols, and they just wave to them like, "Hey, guys. How are you?"
All right.
And
so
I just wanted to bring that up.
Story okay. Reinforced by Dion in East Harlem,
mm-hmm.
responding to Fred in East Harlem from earlier. So before you go, let me raise one other issue that seems to be dividing the council and the mayor right now, since the mayor is not for these extra police officers. A council proposal in this budget for free school lunches for every student, not just for those who qualify based on low family income. We touched on this earlier in the show with our education reporter, Beth Fertig. Are you for that idea?
Yes, absolutely. I think what we've seen across our city and our schools is that there has been a disparity between children that are reduced free lunch as well as free. What we're trying to bring is parity across the board to the system so that all children feel like they're being treated equally and they're not giving certain and special treatment. I represent School District 9, very high needs, Title I, ESL. Many of my students are eligible, about 90% at every school, either for free or reduced. This effort is a great priority, and I give a lot of credit to the speaker, our public advocate, because to me it brings parity across the board. I heard the mayor's comments, and I recognize that he's faced with a large challenge, and those are the union contracts. And so what I think the council will have to do is be very, very proactive and aggressive in our focus on this, because it's a very big ask. I know there's a $25 million, but it's in the line of what we believe is the right thing to do, and that is creating parity so that all children are given free lunch, and that is not a barrier. It's difficult for many children to learn when they're hungry, and we want to make sure that every child has access to free lunch across the board.
Is it the best use of that $24, $25 million to offer this lunch to kids who don't need? I mean, I have a son in, let's say, a low-needs Bronx public school. He doesn't need a lunch subsidized by people in Morrisania, most of whom will make a lot less than I do. Do your constituents need to subsidize my kid's lunch to avoid stigma, or is that the wrong way to look at it?
Well, what our approach is that this is applicable to the students that are absolutely eligible across the board. A family of three earning less than $36,000 qualifies for free lunch. So we estimate that there is a great opportunity to make this a reality, because there are a lot of students that fall in this scenario that unfortunately have to pay. And for many families, even that small dollar amount makes a difference when you have multiple children in the public school system.
City Council Member Vanessa Gibson, she is the new chair of the Public Safety Committee, and she represents areas of the Bronx, including Morrisania and Melrose and Highbridge and around there. Congratulations on your position.
Thank you.
New council is off to an interesting start, and we look forward to talking to you many times.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Brian. I look forward to it. Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And coming up next, an illustrated love letter to New York City. And we have a slideshow. So go to our site, go to WNYC.org, and click on Brian Lehrer Show and fire it up. And you can follow along with some of these great New York City visuals. Stay with us.